Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and Joe Sullivan is my guest today, and we're going to discuss an article that was in yesterday's Times Union about change coming to Albany, and we're going to discuss the pros and cons of whether that's going to be good or bad for the city. So, Joe, how are you feeling?
Not too bad. And yourself, Cynthia?
I'm doing well.
You have a nice Thanksgiving?
Yep, did you?
Yes, it was nice and quiet, peaceful.
Oh good. So, there was an article in yesterday's Times Union about a wave of changes coming to Albany. And, you know, the author described a couple of places that will have change. So from your perspective, after you read the article, do you think the change that's coming to Albany will be good or bad?
Well, I have my doubts as to how good it will be, because I think there are a lot of questions. Probably it'll come out of this interview. There are more questions than answers at this point in time. So I think Chris was very upbeat, thinking that the changes were good. In fact, he started off in his first sentence in his article saying that this is good, very good. I take issue
right.
with that.
Okay.
And first thing I looked at, when you look at the article, which is on the C section, page one of the Capital Region, it shows
right.
an artist's rendition of the gallery, which is supposed to be a luxury apartment building on Holland Avenue. Now, that's really the old senior housing that was there, and it was actually a nursing home before that. And if you're familiar with that stretch of Holland Avenue, you've got the state office buildings right at Holland Avenue, and you've got also a lot of medical buildings on Hackett Boulevard. So it's
right.
a very busy corridor. And if you go there during rush hour, you can't move. So it puzzles me how they're going to put all of these developments that are largely high risers. They're multifamily units. And instead of building out, they're building up. And they're going to be on the major thoroughfares. And Chris did make, to his credit, he did mention traffic and congestion as being a problem. Well, I think it's
right.
going to be a very big problem. And
mm-hmm.
These are when you look at the development that he mentioned on New Scotland Avenue, which we discussed last interview, that's
uh-huh.
a big bottleneck in front of St. Peter's. And now you have
right.
Holland Avenue. And then you have Western mm-hmm. Avenue, which is right around the University Plaza area. So I question
right.
that putting these high-rise developments there is only going to increase congestion. And it's also going to change the character of the neighborhood wherein these developments are located. And
there
Chris does mention that in his article, too.
There was a movie that I saw last spring, and it was at the Spectrum. And it talked about the all of the high-rise buildings in New York City. And the,
mm-hmm.
the movie was named Citizen Jane. And this woman took on Robert Moses. And, you know, it went on to talk about all of the high-rise buildings and how that only breeds more crime and more drugs and more prostitution, and overall it's not good. The woman's name is Jane Jacobs, and she
yes.
is like, you know, a heroine in New York City. So, you know, if that model has been discounted of high-rises throughout Manhattan, why is it being done here?
Yes, I think that's a very good question. And what really the question that jumps right out at you when you read Chris's article is, where are all these thousands of people going to come from that are going to move into the existing neighborhoods? Where are the what are the rents going to be? Say, for example, in this high riser that's pictured for Holland Avenue, what would you estimate that the monthly rental is going to be about?
Mm-hmm.
We don't see any numbers,
right.
Do we? And where are these people going to come from? And where is their income going to be? Are they going to be independently wealthy and all of a sudden going to move up to Albany, New York instead of going to Florida? It doesn't make sense to me.
I think there has to be.
Yes.
Do you think this housing is going to be for all of the employees, like the housing built right by Albany Med?
Well,
would you say
I don't know about that, because what workers want to live right next door to their job? I think they want to get away from their job, don't they? Do you think they want to be chained to their job? I don't think so.
Okay.
Now, next to Albany Med, that was an area that was really an area that had been taken over largely by drug problems. So what they did is they simply got rid of those problems in one area by putting up some of this housing. But then where did the people go that were practicing the drug trade? They moved to other neighborhoods, didn't they?
Okay.
So I wonder, when you think about it, we have the uptown Albany is the tax base of the city. Does it make any sense to impose all this mixed-use development, which is what Rezone Albany does, into the prime residential neighborhoods and kill the tax base in hopes that the new type of development is going to provide the solution? I don't think it is. Where are the jobs?
Now,
there have to be jobs. People have to have income in order to afford these high rents. And if it doesn't turn out to be a high rent, look at the Swire development on Central Avenue, Central Towers. That was supposed to be senior housing, luxury housing. Does it look like luxury housing today? Look at that neighborhood along Central Avenue. Is that a prime residential neighborhood any longer? I don't think so.
Was it?
So, pardon me?
Was it at one time? Was it a prime residential?
Years ago, it was a working class neighborhood. And people around, say, the Hibernian Hall, the old Hibernian Hall on Quail Street, around St. Patrick's Church, there were ethnic neighborhoods. There were German and Irish neighborhoods. And in the St. Patrick's Parish, the people that were there were largely Irish immigrants. And they actually even mortgaged their houses to help build the Hibernian Hall that was located on Quail Street. So there was a time when that was a working-class neighborhood. And, yes, it was a nice neighborhood, but it's certainly changed now.
So Chris Churchill mentioned many, many different projects that are slated to be built. And one of the things, one of the things that are going to be built is Ontario Street, where the bowling alley is going to be knocked down for a 110 apartment. So there's only one bowling alley in the city of Albany. And I'm sure that there's a lot of residents within the city that go there. So I don't think that's a very wise choice to knock down the bowling alley. What do you think?
No, and especially the traffic pattern there again, too. Isn't Ontario Street one way, coming along that way, moving toward New Scotland? So you have traffic problems, and this is going to come up over and over again. The proposal, as I read it and as described by Chris Churchill, there are going to be four high-rise units for those apartments.
Uh-huh.
That's an awful lot of high-rise development concentrated in a very congested area. So I think it really it's going to pose more problems with traffic flow in the long run.
Now,
and there's another question about infrastructure. Wasn't it too long ago that Albany was having problems with sewage overflow into the Hudson River?
Right.
So there was a lot of discussion. There were articles saying that the current sewer treatment facility was inadequate. Well, if you're going to put all of this mixed-use development, high-rise development, you're going to concentrate more and more people in concentrated areas. You have not only choke points in traffic, you have choke points in sewage systems and water supply, especially sewage, though. And water supply is another question, because it was only a few months ago that we saw articles in the paper about algae bloom in the reservoir, in the alcove reservoir area. It wasn't the main reservoir, but it was the tributary, the basic creek. Well, if you're going to have algae blooms, what about the water supply? Is that's not unlimited. That's a finite supply of water. And already the city of Albany is doing just like they did with the trash. They hastened the demise of the landfill by taking in trash as an income producer and filling up the landfill faster. So in retrospect, you could see that was short-sighted on the part of the city administration. Could you say the same thing about the water? Because right now the city of Albany has a good reservoir, but they also use water as a commodity to bring income. And they sell water to the towns of Bethlehem and Guilderland and also New Scotland, which are short on water. So what happens if you have all this high-rise development and you're bringing thousands more population in a concentrated area? Is the city going to have to turn around and say to the towns, sorry, we can't sell you water anymore because we need it for ourselves? So I think water and sewer questions have to really be addressed. And also there's the tax question. Most of this development, and Chris mentions it in his article, is going to be financed by tax breaks. Well, who pays the taxes now? That gets us back to the uptown single-family residential neighborhoods that are going to be adversely impacted by this mixed-use development. This is the tax-paying base of the city, uptown Albany, that supports the city schools and the city government. So if you take these neighborhoods and you change their character, and Chris does mention this too, that's one of the necessary side effects is changes in residential character of existing neighborhoods, are you in fact killing off the tax base for a risky pie-in-the-sky type of development, which is going to be subsidized by the very taxpayers that are paying the high taxes right now? Is this like a big Ponzi scheme? All these artist renditions. Is this kind of like a building gold rush? And is it just going to all collapse in time? I think those are the serious questions that have to be addressed. It's not only traffic, it's water and sewer. And it's a question of what happens if these so-called luxury housing don't pan out to be luxury housing and they go empty. What do they become then? They become like Central Mall Towers, which was allegedly billed as luxury senior housing. Well, now it's Section 8 housing. So I think the county, we have to have a full analysis of how much Section 8 housing there really is in the city of Albany right now. I think that's a fundamental problem.
Now, there's supposed to be a planning commission in the city that's supposed to plan stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, from what you're saying, and if your analysis is correct, they're not doing such a great job, are they?
Well, I'm wondering what their credentials are for planning. Now, my training is in geography, and geography is the study of humans' interactions with their environments in place and time. And from where I can see, when I look outside my doorstep, I'm just looking at the traffic and lamenting the fact that it's never been so bad on New Scotland Avenue, which is a major artery coming from the suburbs. You have the 85, and then you have St. Peter's Hospital, you have the VA Hospital, you have Memorial. You have all of these hospitals here, Albany Med, down the road. And this generates so much daily rush of traffic. Tens of thousands of cars every day go past my front door. and it's getting worse and worse. I can remember this place 40, 50 years ago where you didn't have it. It was virtually a quiet street. So the pattern of the city...
It's not only the traffic, Joe, it's the noise, too.
Oh, it's roaring. It's deafening. In fact, this morning I was out with the dog out in the backyard. And if you really go out early in the morning when everything's very quiet, you can hear the thruway, which isn't too far down the road. And you can hear all of the 18-wheelers and the drone of the trucks, the heavy truck traffic coming along. So I think people have to really pay attention to what's happening. What kind of what direction do we want Albany to really go into? Are there limits to growth and development? Are there limits to the ability of the city to support a large population? Where are the jobs? People are going to have jobs. Everybody can't be on welfare. In fact, I think we were both listening to Fred Dicker and his program. He talked about the problems in New York with the budget. On the one hand, with the federal government, you have tax reform on the table, big changes possibly may or may not be coming. And this has really repercussions for New York State in terms of the deductibility of real estate taxes, a whole tax structure in the state of New York. So is this a good time to be having all of this tax-exempt development taking place on a whim? Where are the figures to back up the demand? Mr. Hirschberg, who does a lot of the engineering studies for the city of Albany, he's done it for the last half century, he said he's never seen a wave of development like this proposed for the city of Albany. Well, I question how good it is in the long run. So in the final analysis, when I look at the Churchill article, I think it was much too upbeat, and I think there have to be a lot more serious questions asked about the water supply, the sewage systems, the ability of the sewage system to accommodate it. Where are the jobs going to be for the people to pay these high rents, the luxury housing? What happens if they don't become luxury housing? Do they become Section 8 housing? Is this a giant boondoggle? So I think they're very serious questions to be asked.
Now, would you say this all stems from the mayor's efforts to push rezone Albany through the Common Council?
Oh, yes. And this is part of the social engineering. This is part of changing the character, like her whole emphasis on walkable neighborhoods. Well, in order to have a walkable neighborhood, you have to have low crime. And if you take the crime and you spread it around the city by putting in high-rise storefronts and things like that, who's going to live in a storefront opposite St. Peter's Hospital? Is that going to affect the character of services at the hospital? Are we going to have, panhandlers bothering people coming along the Scotland Avenue going to visit patients in the hospital, people coming out of the hospital to go to stores in the neighborhood? Are you going to have panhandlers approaching them and begging for money and that type of thing? So I think that the whole question of crime in the city of Albany, not only is Albany a poverty city, we have a pretty high crime rate. And when you start spreading high-rise apartments around, who's going to live in these high-rise apartments? If they turn out to be luxury housing, great. But if they turn out to be low-income subsidized housing, they breed crime. And that spills over onto the neighborhood streets.
One of the things in the movie about Jane Jacobs was after all of these high-rise buildings were up, they became... It caused more crime, it caused more drug addiction, and, I don't think that's what we want for Albany.
I would agree with you, and there was an article in the Times Union, the Empire State section, just the other day about Trump Soho, to shed Trump as a business, as business is sagging with the condos in New York City. And if people are bailing out of New York, which is the case here, upstate New York has lost lots of population. People are moving out. Well, does it make any sense to really go in for all this high-rise development when you may have an exodus? In fact, Fred mentioned that as one of the possibilities this morning on his show, that if everything goes down the tubes here in the Albany area, people will just move out, senior citizens, instead of just simply staying in the area. They'll just simply move to Florida. They'll cut their losses and get out of here. They'll go to South Carolina. They'll go to other states, North Carolina, where the climate is better. Who wants to stay here and really suffer through our Northeast winters and to have such congestion on our local streets? You know,
now,
it's interesting when you look at
the
street. Yes?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'll ask you.
Yeah, when you look at the street pattern, you know, you have to look at what you have here. You have really like the spokes of a wheel. When you take Albany, everything is concentrated on the downtown area. And all of the major arteries, Washington Avenue, Central Avenue, Delaware Avenue, New Scotland Avenue, Hackett Boulevard, they're all like the spokes of a wheel concentrated on downtown. Now, what's going on with the downtown Albany area is you have the land banking going on. You have a consolidation of parcels through the land bank to make more attractive parcels for development. But then who's going to build downtown? Most of these developments are not downtown. They're in the nicer areas of the city. So does it make any sense to take nice areas of the city and to change the character of the neighborhoods and hope that it's going to turn out good in the end? I don't think it is.
You know, you and I have been, you know, we talked a lot during the campaign, and we've talked, you know, now that the election is over. But,
right.
You know, you're brave enough to bring up issues, and a lot of people are hesitant to do so. And like what the article that was in yesterday's paper is really important. And I think, and I'm going to state right now that I would like to get a panel together of concerned citizens throughout the city that can address the issues that you talked about in this conversation. And I invite people who listen, who have ideas, who have questions, to email me at CynthiaPooler@hotmail.com. And I think what was talked about today was really important for the, you know, for Albany to go forward as a thriving community. So in addition to get citizens involved, who would you say, Joe, would be good people to ask to come on Focus on Albany to address the issues that you brought up today? Who do you think go ahead.
I think we've got to engage the people, and I think what's got to happen here is there's got to be a rejuvenation of neighborhood associations. Right now, I was looking at our neighboring association, the Ninth Ward, and they're going begging to even have a president now. Nobody wants to take on having their elections, their annual meeting December 6th in the Helderberg Neighborhood Association, and they have no one running for president or vice president of the association. Nobody wants to step forward. And the current president has other things to do with his life, and he's trying to recruit someone to show up, and they're literally begging people. We have in our own neighborhood association here, Buckingham Pond Crestwood, which is the original neighborhood association for this neighborhood. Most of the members have died off. They've moved away, or they've left. And then you have a mayor's neighborhood association called the Buckingham Lake Neighborhood Association. They're not making a peep about any of this development, are they? Because they're the mayor's neighborhood association. So what we really need is neighborhood associations that are independent of the political structure, people who are not just simply rubber stamps like the Common Council. So I think the people you really want to engage are not the officials. You want to engage the people ordinary
so
citizens.
Anybody who wants to join in on this conversation to talk about what they feel is important, we've got to start a dialogue. I do not want to see Albany fall by the wayside. So, you know, I'll even give my phone number out, 518-894-2130. Even if one or two people can step up to the plate and say, yes, I want to make a difference. With those two people, with my friend Joe, myself, maybe we could start doing something in the city of Albany. Would you agree, Joe?
I think so, and it really begins with people, because look at the turnouts in the elections. Even on Fred Dicker's show, he was interviewing Mike Long. In New York City, you know, major city in the United States, there was only a 20% voter turnout. And Mike Long mentioned the fact that the voters, it's a major problem that the voters are not engaged anymore. Well, they have to be, because not only are we losing our neighborhoods, we're losing our cities, and we're losing our country, and people have to realize that. They have to be involved.
Right. People are becoming just spectators now, and that's got to change.
Otherwise, we're headed for a not pretty future. You know, one closing thought, Cynthia, also in the Times Union around the same time, there was an article about improvements in uphill battle, and there was an article about a couple that they actually built a home. They moved in from Colony, and they spent $200,000 to build a home in the South End, but it's only valued at $95,000 by the city for tax purposes. So this is an illustration of the problem. Why is that the case? Crime in the neighborhood and blight. So that's why it's very important to keep our neighborhoods good. And we've got to keep the character of neighborhoods. This mixed-use trend is really very bad for the future of the city of Albany. There can be only so much commercial development, and there can only be so much mixed use. And the original purpose of zoning was to set aside areas for certain types of development. Well, if you just simply throw everything all together in one neighborhood, you have nothing but chaos, and that's where we're headed.
Okay, so, you know, this is an invitation for everybody out there to become involved, even to start a conversation. I'll give my contact information out again. It's 518-894-2130. Please step up to the plate. Let's start a conversation, and let's get this city moving in the right direction. Joe, do you have anything to add?
No. Thank you again for, you know, bringing these opportunities for us to discuss these matters. I think they're very important. Thank you.
Okay, so you've been listening to Joe Sullivan, who ran for mayor this past term. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about the show, hashtag Focus on Albany. Happy Cyber Monday, everybody. Have a great day.
You too, Cynthia. Thank you.